All right, God is good. As you know, there's half a dozen of us going to Uganda this week, and we'll be gone for a while. We'll need your prayers while we're there. Anytime you go on a mission trip, the enemy fights because it doesn't want people set free. And so there's always a struggle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so it's always exciting to go on these trips because you never know what Satan will try to do to stop you, because he doesn't want the good news to be spread abroad. So they're excited. They've been in prayer over in Uganda, Pastor Joel. We've encountered many, many difficulties already, but that's expected. Scott is going to be going with us, and who else is here that's going with us? Clay also is going to go with us. There's going to be several, and we'll all have an opportunity to share over there. Lynn Lehman from Dallas, and David Halverson, by the way, is also going. Lynn is going to share to the women over there. They're really excited about that because those societies have a different view of what a woman's role is. And to set them free, to follow the biblical pattern where their own customs are not in line. So the women always love to hear those teachings, to know that in Christ there's no male or female, but all are equal in the sight of God in dignity and value and worth. It's always a challenge for the men to accept that. Because in Uganda, the women are used to walking behind their men. And I've tried to do that with Peggy. It just doesn't work. Tried to institute the Ugandan law here. All right, let's read chapter 10, Hebrews. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. So the law, I've brought along four chairs who had nothing to do today. And I'm going to make this chair here, this chair on the end. I want to make this the law chair. Now, in the law chair, the Bible just said it's a shadow. So if it's a shadow, that means there's darkness in it. It's just a shadow. So the law is a shadow of good things to come. Now, the law itself is good, but it's only good as a shadow. It's not the real thing. So because it's only good as a shadow, it tells me what to do, but it never forgives me for not doing it, and it never empowers me to be able to do it. So it's like telling me what's right and what's wrong, and that's good because it's telling me to be like God. And yet, it has no ability to help me out if I can't do it or to forgive me if I mess up. So what's wrong with the law chair is it's not good for us. It isn't the chair that's wrong, it's us, because we're not capable of being perfect. So that's a problem with the law chair. Now, this next chair, these are the gospel chairs. I've invited this one holy, and this one holy, and this one holy. So we got three holies. So these chairs are very interesting. Only this kind of holy here is imputed righteousness. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, then we're able to be justified by faith and not by any works. I didn't do any works, or I messed up and didn't do any of the things he told me to do. But here, I'm forgiven completely by the blood of Jesus. We just took communion, which is a picture of this, that because of what he did, not because of what I did or didn't did, I didn't do anything over here. In fact, at my best state, I'm just a fake and a phony and a liar and a hypocrite. So that's the best I can do. The worst I can do, you don't want to know. But the worst, oh man, when I'm selfish and just taking care of me, And so I can gear the whole world to have to serve my purposes. So this is a selfish chair here. And although I can clean up on the outside, I'm a hypocrite and a liar because I really want my way no matter what. Now, that's the way we're all born. How many know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? So that means every one of us, even after you're born again, you still have this nasty selfish, hypocritical, lying, boring self. Y'all aware of that? I mean, it comes out every once in a while, not in church, but comes out when you walk out the door. So a lot of people, by the time they're real inspired here, by the time they get out in the parking lot, they're yelling at each other and so on and so forth. I told you to stop wiggling, and so on and so forth. So this love thing is just kind of a theory. But that's because sometimes we're not really born again at all, or we're born again, which is a good way to begin. But if we don't continue in His Word, we will never end up in this last chair. Now, the purpose of the first chair is to bring you to the second chair, which is to bring you to the third chair. So this third chair over here, ignoring that chair entirely, because that chair will never perfect anybody. But these chairs are holy, holy, holy. And this holiness is called justification. This holiness is called sanctification. And this holiness here is another kind of holiness called glorification. This is your body. This is your soul. This is your spirit. So God starts this out with the spirit first and gives you a new heart. Here all your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did. But then He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit for these two chairs. Now, this one is my heart, this one is my character, and this one is my body or my outer life, my conduct. So now, in order for me to stay out of this chair entirely, so I'll put this way over here, I'll make sure you're not tempted to try to be good anymore. Now, if you try to be good, the worst that's going to happen is you won't. And the best that's going to happen is you won't. So you can tell that's a vain chair. It's a silly chair because it's telling me to do something I'm not capable of doing, being perfect. So God actually created man without the ability to be perfect. You do not have the ability to know good and evil. You cannot eat of that tree. Now you can try. You can pretend like you can eat of God's tree, but only God knows good and evil because only God is good. And so this chair here, the best it can do is just expose me as a liar, to expose me as a hypocrite, as someone who gives lip service to God, but his heart is far from God. And it has no ability to stop sin. So every once in a while, this chair is not only legalistically looking good on the outside, but actually is licentious on the inside. It's just you have to catch me off guard. So this chair is completely to be ignored, and Christianity has nothing to do with that chair. That's a Jewish chair. It's a pagan chair. All the religions of the world are that chair, except ours. Now, unfortunately, many Christians get goofed up and confused and think the reason that He gives you this chair is so you can go back and sit in that chair. So now that I'm born again, hey, maybe that born again will help. I'll try this chair now. Hey, I'm good now. I go to church and I'm smiling. So it looks like I'm really a real Christian until you get into close contact with me. Then you discover that just being baptized in water and believing that Jesus was good and believing that because Jesus was good, somehow that rubs off onto me, you're mistaken. No, Jesus did not set you free over here in order to put you back in bondage over here. That's witchcraft. The whole book of Galatians is about that kind of witchcraft. So here, I was not made to sit in this chair. Now, Jesus could sit in this chair because He knows good and evil, and He could actually do it. But He said, I'm not going to sit in that chair either. I'm not going to come under the law of God because I am the law. Jesus is actually the end of the law. In other words, everything the law was aiming at, the letter of this law, Jesus is actually the spirit of this law, but not the letter. But that's the spirit over there. So this is my spiritual rebirth. So this one, as I said, is justification. This one is sanctification. This one's glorification. This one is the spirit, soul, and body. This is the outer. It's the only thing that everybody sees. Nobody sees your heart. Nobody sees your soul. So nobody knows what's going on deep in your heart except God. So He knows if you're a hypocrite or a liar. Nobody knows here that there's work going on because of the Holy Spirit, working in my soul so that I don't want to be selfish anymore. But just because I don't want to does not mean I won't. So here's my outer behavior, not like over there, hypocrite, liar, chair, but over here. Now I'm saying all this because I'm going to read this in the book of Hebrews in a minute. So you can see, if you don't have this understanding, you'll misunderstand everything that's read. Now, to enter into his rest means this work is not something you do. That chair was what you do, nothing. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So if you're not in Christ, if you're not here, then over here you can do nothing. So that's completely, but in him, why? Then we can do all things. So it's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. So this is the end for which you were made to be mature in Christ, an adult. You are not just born again to be a little child or a young man or woman or a mature mother or father. You're actually created only to be this one. So those two are means to the end. So this one starts you by new birth. This one continues you and keeps you going by killing off your old man. And this one, because now your old man is dead, actually, truly, by the work of the Spirit, then you can live in this chair permanently. Now, this chair, I probably forgot to mention this, you can only do this chair daily. Now, this chair is once for all. You do it one time and it's over. You're born again, you're in God's family, you're in the kingdom of God. This chair, however, every day you have to conquer sin. Every day you have to conquer yourself. Every day you have to make a little argument like this. I'm so depressed. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. You're a Christian. Yes, over here, but not here. That's my spirit man. Of course, my soul man. I'm depressed. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Now, there's a little argument, a little war going on, and only one will win. And it's depressing to find out which one. So most Christians are still in this chair where, thank God, being depressed, at least I'm forgiven. But this is not where God wants you to end up, because I didn't get to the third chair yet. So here, I'm depressed, but I say this. You know what? I'm going to make a division in me. I'm going to divide between spirit and soul. My soul man says he's depressed, but my spirit man says I'm a new creation. So, which one is true? Am I depressed or excited? Oh, well, I'm excited. Hallelujah! And immediately, the other side of me will come up and make an argument, and only one's going to win. So I have to talk to myself. Jim, get a hold of yourself. You're excited. I am not. Yes, you are. I am not. You are. And pretty soon, then, I win by the truth, which sets me free. Now, if I go by my psychological nature, I can't overcome sin. I could overcome it this way by believing in Jesus because the truth sets me free. But here, what about the truth here? Here, the truth is that I'm not trying to become what I already am. Here's what I am, and here's what I should look like, but I won't look like it if I don't fight it out here. So this chair is my new man in Christ that I reckon dead unto sin. So that means, Jim, you're not depressed. I am too. No, you're not. No, yes, I am. No, you're not. So eventually, by speaking the word and meditating on Jesus, yes, you're thinking of the old you like in that chair. But you see, Christ has already set you free in this chair. Therefore, you're able to speak the truth and conquer your old self. So your old man put it off, and your new man put it on. So I divide between my soul and my spirit here. And I decide that my soul has nothing to say. Be quiet. You're not depressed. I am too. Well, rejoice anyway. So I can force my old man to die. By what? Look at Jesus. I'm tired of looking at him. No, no, no. Look at Jesus. Stop looking at yourself, you proud person. You're no longer depressed. I am too. No, you're not. Now, I will win this battle. As long as it takes for me to win this battle, this is where the real war takes place, not here, because I already believe that Jesus was good. Over here in this chair, I believe Jesus Christ is good, and I believe that he's finished his work, and I believe he's done. Ha-ha, not so. Jesus' work is not just justification, it's also sanctification, and it's also glorification. Now, that means I could actually say to myself, you know what? I am a new creation right now, and I'm happy as can be. You're a liar. You're not happy as can be at all. You're depressed, and you know it. I am not. I'm happy as a being. I'm going to say it. I'm happy as can be. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. Now, because I'm happy as can be, and of course that's a spiritual statement, but spirit happens to be true because I ignore my soul, and that kills my soul. And the more I behold Jesus, the more my old man dies. Now, did you understand those three chairs? So, the reason I'm born again, this chair, is so that I can die to my old man, my soulish self, so that then I can live according to the power of the Holy Spirit in this chair. So this is Savior, and these two are Lord. This is Savior, and these two are Lord. This is mercy, and these two are power. Lords have power. Saviors have mercy. So here, all my sins are forgiven once for all. Jesus goes to the Father, and he said, Jim, I paid for you forever. Any sin you ever did, I paid for it. It's paid for. It's gone. Not only now have I covered your guilt, but now I'm going to take away the love of sinning. I'm actually going to change you from glory to glory to glory by the process that I just explained, which is I'm meditating on Jesus, and the more I behold him, the more I become like him. Pretty soon I find myself talking like and walking like Jesus. And I say to Peggy then, instead of in my selfish, depressed, nasty, shallow self, instead of speaking like that, hey, Peg, what you doing? I don't talk like that. I say, Peg, you're the best. I love you. You see how that's different? That's over here. Now, over here, if this man gets in there, then he will depress me and he will show forth nothing. So even though I'm born again, I can still get mad. Even though I'm born again, I could still be afraid. Even though I'm born again, I could still operate in the flesh until I kill my flesh. So because I'm born again, I'm able then to kill off my old man by making it look at Jesus and his finished work. He wasn't just my Savior, he's also my Lord. And he made a promise. Now his promise is not, Jim, I want you to shape up. That's not a promise. His promise is, Jim, I am going to begin a good work in you, and then I will keep perfecting you day by day until you live only here. Now, how many know this one's for heaven? Wrong. This one actually is for earth too. He doesn't want you perfect in heaven. In heaven, you'll see what you now believe. You just can't see it here. So what you see is occasionally you see the goodness of God. When men shall see your good works, which you didn't do, which Christ did in you, when they see your good works, they'll give glory, not to you, but to the Father in heaven. So that's this chair. This is where you belong, and you could do this right this minute. So you are happy whether you know it or not. Now you'll have to sit in this chair and argue it out. But because of this chair, you're forgiven for being miserable. But in this chair, you're not allowed to be miserable. And in this chair, you express your joy, joy unspeakable. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, how many know that's going to be true in heaven, but should it not be true today? Jesus paid for all of that. When he died on the cross, when he went to the Father, he said, because I go to the Father, you are now righteous, righteous, righteous. You're righteous in your spirit, you're righteous in your soul, you're righteous in your body, behavior, life, conduct. So now, we are only known by this chair. Nobody sees chair one or chair two. They only see chair three. So if you truly have faith, then it needs to be active in love. So faith, and over here is love expressed outwardly. But here is me loving myself. If I don't love myself as a new creation, I'm not going to love my neighbor as myself. So I can only love my neighbor to the extent that I love myself, which means I have to kill off my old selfish self and bring forth my new self. So here I put off my old man, put on my new man, and then you see and hear my new man. Here I say, because I'm dead now, this is my death, right here is my death. Jesus took his cross here. I'm taking up my cross here. If I keep my life, I'll lose it, but if I lose my life, I'll keep it. So here I say to myself, Jim, listen to the truth. You are happy right now. I am? Yes, you am. So since I am, well, then I might as well smile. Yahoo! Glory! And now here I am, Jim, you are a lover. Me? Honest? See, here I'm not so sure because I'm wrestling in my soul and my spirit, and I have to separate or kill off my soul. So the Word of God is quick. It's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to divide between soul and spirit. So here's my spirit man, and here is my outer behavior, but here my soul is wrestling to see which way it will go. Now, I don't actually do this. All I do is believe. I don't obey, I believe. So here I'm obedient, but I'm only obedient because I trusted this one here that saved me. So here's Jesus as Savior, here's Jesus as Lord living in me, beholding Him, His presence comes to destroy my old man. And here, because I'm destroyed, I can reckon myself dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus, and I can begin to speak, even if I don't feel it, even if I don't understand it, even if I don't want it, it doesn't matter, because I'm not asking this one. I am only looking to Jesus and saying, His finished work, which was done not only on Calvary, was actually done before the foundation of the world. There are no works now. So this chair told me to do something I couldn't possibly do, which is something that only God can do. Only God can do good works, because only God knows what good is, and only God has the power and the capacity and the wisdom and the strength and the commitment to do so. So this chair doesn't help me. It lays upon every man, and you're in bondage. So this chair is bondage and slavery. This chair is freedom. It's liberty. Liberty to be loved, even though I don't deserve it, even though I didn't earn it. By the way, God will never pay a wage over here. He never has paid a wage, and He never will pay a wage to anybody for doing anything. So if you were good, you could get a wage, but you're not, so you can't. So He'll never pay off anybody. But here, even Jesus, by the way, even Jesus said, the good works that I do, I don't do. The Father Himself, who dwells in me, he doeth the works. So the Father does the works, even in Jesus. So when Jesus came down, He didn't come down in His own person. He came down to do the will of God, which is die for Jim, and then kill off Jim's old man, and then live through Jim so that the whole world can see me. So this is for me, this is in me, and this is through me. Here, Jesus died for me. Here, the Holy Spirit's living in me, and here, the Holy Spirit manifests Jesus through me, King Jesus. Here you see the kingship. You see the lordship. Do you know that we are actually priests and kings, and Jesus being the Melchizedek, after the order of Melchizedek. Under the old law here, we're under Aaron. But Aaron, with all the bulls and all the doves and all of the bloodshed, doesn't help a thing. Why? Because I'll sin again tomorrow. And even if I didn't sin for a few minutes, it's just outward. Hypocritically, my heart wasn't ever purified by the blood of a bull or a dove or anything else. So that day is over when man at his best state or man at his worst state are actually the same exact thing. And because Jesus said that, they killed him. So by killing Jesus, they didn't like that message that man can't be doing anything. If man can't do anything, where's my pride? How many still want to have a little bit of pride? You know, I'm not a dummy. Yeah, you are. Well, I'm not a weakling. Yeah, you are. Well, I don't like that, because I'm a little bit good. No, you're not. Oh. So this chair only exposes me as a liar, a fake, a hypocrite. This chair here is my real self. This is who I was created to be, and now since my original creation didn't work, I'm in a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So here I am. I'm the new man in Christ. Now, here, I actually put it on myself. How do I do it? Just by listening to Him, because I don't do it at all. Actually, He does it all, because over there I labored, but over here He labors. All of His labors, of course, were done before the foundation of the earth. So actually what I'm doing here in these three chairs is entering into His rest. I'm entering into no work at all. I'm entering into something that Jesus not only accomplished on Calvary 2,000 years ago, but what He accomplished 6,000 years ago at creation. All the works of God were laid when the cornerstone, which I'm building my life on, this cornerstone was laid and said, I'm going to die for Jim, to forgive him. Then I'm going to live in Jim to kill off his old man, because when he sees my beauty, he'll be ugly. And then I'm actually, he and I together are going to be so linked up, we're going to be so yoked together that What I do, he do. And what he do, I do. So we're going to be that close, that tight. But of course, I have to kill him off here in order to get here. So this is not what produces the new life. This only forgives me for my old life. This one actually is starting a battle where I have to take up my cross and follow him. Deny myself daily. Well, I can't do that, but he promised that he would do it. The good work that he began here is he will surely complete here. Now, you won't see that until the trump sounds. So this is the outer court Christianity, most Christians. This is holy place Christianity, very few Christians. And this is Holy of Holies Christianity, where people truly are so in love with Jesus and there's no self left, that they're actually loving and doing things and they don't even know. They're not even looking, because all they're doing is reading his scripture, meditating day and night on the scripture, beholding him. We are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory. Now, you are in all three chairs every day. Part of you here is the Lord shows you a sin, it's forgiven. Part of it here, the Lord is teaching you, training you, putting you through new trials and tribulations, and you're always rejoicing, hallelujah, praise God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, all those good, wonderful things. And over here, I'm actually walking with the Lord, led of the Holy Spirit, and walking in love. So that my wife sees this, the world sees this, and they give praise to God. So, does that all make sense? Now, the bad chair, that's that chair there. You cannot sit in this chair because you are not capable of good. You don't even know what's good, so you have no brains. You have no ability whatsoever to know the good, to want the good, or to do the good. So you have no capacity whatsoever in that chair to ever know. You don't even know what good is. For example, when Jesus went into the temple and beat all those people and knocked them out and set free the birds, would you call that good? Let me put it this way. Would you put that picture over the crib? Jesus whipping out the money changers, you know, probably not, because you like Jesus to be a little friendlier and you don't want the baby to be looking at that picture all the time. But that was a loving thing to do. Why? Because they had turned the house of God into a commercial house. They had made it a den of thieves. And Jesus said, my heart shall be a house of prayer. In other words, praise, worship. Now, is praise and worship, is that a work, or is that simply Christ in me doing everything and all I'm doing is thanking him because there's nothing to do? Or is my worship itself a work? It's not. Everything is God's work. Everything is wrought by God. All my deeds are not my deeds at all. They're all wrought in God. All I've done is enter into his rest. I didn't do anything. I'm not working. I'm not sweating. I'm not laboring. So there's no more labor, and there's no more work, and there's no more sweat. I'm just enjoying myself day in and day out because there's nothing to do except to receive and to take and to enjoy my inheritance. Now, this one does not inherit. This is a little child. This one does not inherit because it's just a young man or a young woman. This is the one that inherits because it's now mature. I'm now an adult. That you can actually see the power of God working in me in such a way that the wife knows it, the children knows it, the husband, the whoever. The whole world can see here. So when we go to Uganda, they aren't worried about, you know, the message I'm going to tell about Jesus. They believe that Jesus has died for their sins and so on. But what about their marriages? What about their businesses? They're not yet purified. So what they need over there is not preaching about Jesus died for you. What they need over there is the very thing we don't give them, which is real teaching on how to overcome sin in their own lives. How do you do it? You don't. He's already done it. You just need to believe it. You just need to believe that you are who you are. You're not becoming what you're not. You're becoming what you are. You're just becoming what Jesus Christ has given you, not just here, but also here. Here he saved me before I changed. Here he actually works the change. We are changed from one degree of glory to another. And here, you actually see the change that he worked, which was your death. So, here, Jim is loved, still alive. Here, Jim is killed. And here, Jim is living, that is, Christ is living through him, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Did y'all understand all that? Now, let's read. I won't get very far. But let's read a couple of verses out of Hebrews 10. For the law, that's that first chair over there that we've put aside, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year after year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So that law cannot perfect you. You, whatever you do, it's imperfect, not acceptable. For then, if it was perfect, they would cease to be offered, because the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. So that one won't do that because it's not perfect, but this one does. Because when Jesus went to the Father, your righteousness is not downstairs. Your righteousness is with Jesus because he is your righteousness. So you don't have any righteousness of your own. You're just simply forgiven for not having any righteousness of your own. But Jesus has become your righteousness. Therefore, I'm having faith in him and I'm trusting him that what he did was for me. He died for me. He buried for me. He was risen for me. He ascended into heaven for me. He reigns now for me. Everything is for me. So here, I'm happy. But now he wants to actually kill me and change me and stop my selfishness. Well, I don't know if I want that. Maybe I'd like to get rid of my worst sins, but I'd like to keep a few of my favorites. How many still have one or two favorite sins you like keeping? You know, maybe it's anger or bitterness, or you never know, it comes in handy. You just want not to, you don't want to actually live a holy life. You just want to live, you know, something of a holy life, like come church every once in a while or something like that, hear about Jesus. But you actually still want to be bitter every once in a while. How many here have been bitter for over an hour? You see, then you don't really understand what Jesus did. How many want to rejoice always? You actually want to. Okay, most of you are lying. But it's okay. Because I'll tell you, there are some times when you don't want to rejoice, when it makes you mad to rejoice. You know, and there's sometimes when I don't want to live a godly life. I want to watch the television I know is no good. I want to eat the ice cream that I know I don't need one more bowl of it. Whatever it is, I want to argue with my husband or my wife. I don't know why, I just want to. And I know it'll go nowhere, but I still want to do it. How many know that there's still some growth needed in us so that we're actually here rather than here? Again, you can't do it. He does it all. Let him do it. Say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me for all my sins, but now also thank you for altering me, changing me, transforming me, and killing off my old man. Make the tree good and the fruit will be good. So, wow. And the more I think on him, the more I meditate on his finished work before the foundation of the world, not just Calvary. When God the Father said it's finished, that means it's finished. And when Jesus said it's finished, that means it's finished. But you don't see it yet, but that's over here. So this one's finished, and this one's finished. And if you do this one first, without changing, without doing anything, without knowing anything, but Jesus loves me and forgives me as a rotten, no good person, that is your best shot. Your best shot is don't change yourself. Let's say I pointed out Scott's sin. I can pick on Scott because I like him and know him. I don't like the rest of you and I don't know you. I pick on Scott. And I believe that Scott actually has done something wrong. And this is actually a true story, but don't think on that. And so I could rebuke him and say, you know, hey, brother, you got to change. You got to stop that. I know exactly what he's done, and he does too. I know exactly what it is. And so I could depress him by pressing him with that. His brother, you know, you believe in Jesus, but have you really been a good Christian? No, you're not. So that is the wrong way to approach it. Amen? That's the wrong way to approach it. So instead we say, hey, brother, thank God Jesus has forgiven all our sins. Woohoo! Now, we could have a nice time with that, but we would have a rougher time if we said, you got to put away your sins, brother. And if you don't do it by this afternoon, all hell is going to break loose. You know, well, that is not a good friendship. There's not a lot of fun in that one at all. So we have to approach it exactly as the way Jesus said is, don't work on anything. Enter into his rest. That's what sets the captive free. That's what causes me in chair number two to actually relax. Because in chair number one, Jesus forgives me just the way I am. But in chair number two, I've got to do some changing. But I can't do it. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. So since Christ is in me, I need to focus on that, not on Jim living for Christ, but on Christ living not just for me, but in me. And when I think of that, I know he can do whatever he wants to do. And besides, he's made a promise. Jim, I promise you, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. And when that trump sounds someday, you will be like me. It doth not yet appear. You don't see it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Therefore, he who thus hopes in God, in other words, he made a promise, I'm not just sitting here, but I'm also hoping in him that I will be here. No, I'm already here. Actually, when he did this, he also came back as, by the way, this was Calvary. This is Pentecost. This is Mount Zion. Now, this is not for the world to come. It's for this world. God should be seen, because otherwise nobody can glorify God. If they don't see your good works, not Jesus's, they know Jesus did a good work, but Jesus did his good work so he could be killed, so that then he could be buried, so that then he could rise from the dead, so that then he could ascend into heaven, so that then he could reign, and then he could live in your heart so you could do it. That's why he did all that. So the reason he rose from the dead was to live in you forever. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will never give up on you. And if I start the work, I'll finish it. Now, don't obey that, believe that. Don't obey that, believe that. Don't go, well, I don't know if I want to not sin. I like to keep a few of the favorites. No, that's not true. That's a lie. So here I get that lie out of me by saying, that's not true. I want to be perfect. I don't want to wait till tomorrow either. I want all sin gone today, this afternoon. In fact, this morning. What time is it? Well, so, you know, let's get on with it right now, because I want to live a perfect life now, because my wife's living with me now. And the church is now. And the world is now. So I don't want to wait. And therefore, they should see that good work that he promised, remember it's only on a daily basis, should every day be coming forth, so that people see the new man in Christ every day. And that's proof that old man is dead. I reckon that old man no longer me. That is not me. I'm not that me at all. I'm a new creation. Jesus Christ has started a new race of people, and I'm one of those. What did I do? Nothing. He did it all. And he's still doing it all. And he will always do it all. I'm going to inherit. This is the only chair to inherit from. I will inherit as an adult. Children do not inherit, or if they do inherit, they don't enjoy the fullness. Somebody else holds it for them. But in our case, we want to be adults to enjoy the kingdom of God on earth, so that my wife and my children and the cat and whoever else actually knows he's a Christian. He's dead to himself. He no longer has a self. Why? Because God took care of me. Because I believe that God loves me, and I believe he wants to give me the kingdom. I believe it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How many of you would take the kingdom rather than the burning fire in hell, gnashing teeth, worms coming out of you option? You know, that's another option, of course, and you're welcome to go there. And many people are choosing that option because they don't know the truth. And therefore, they haven't been set free. So all of their honesty is not going to get them to heaven. Honesty is a lie compared to the truth. The truth is what I just told you, that Jesus Christ not only died for you, but he also was risen for you to reign in you now, today, so that you're actually able to say to your wife this morning, and Scott, I want you to say this to your mom. Mom, I love you. You're the best mom in the world. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. See, that's good. And you love Scott too? What about the other one? Okay. Which one do you love the most? That's a trick question. So you see, it's better to be heavenly than it is to be earthly. It's better to sit in these three chairs than it is in that chair over there. That chair has been done away with. That chair is no longer the blood of bulls and goats and, you know, turtle doves and so on. those animals, I mean, Al Gore's for this, those animals need a little break. And they need to be set free of being sacrificed for Gaia, Mother Nature. But in those sacrifices, there is always a remembrance again made of sin every year. So we don't need that. We have no more conscience of sin. Once you're in chair number one and begin to understand that the same one that put you in the first chair will put you in the second chair, will put you in the third chair, you no longer have any conscience of sin. Your conscience then may see the sin, but it knows right away, Jesus has covered it. The blood of Jesus has been sprinkled on me. Number two, I see present evidence of the Lord working in my life. My old self is dying. I see my new man wanting. My will is now broken. I want to do his will. And I see some evidence that I've actually done it. Now, that daily, not only understanding, but experience is that you're able to say to your mom, as Scott just did, Mom, I love you. Now, was that the spirit or was that just Scott, pretending? Was that just Scott over here in this chair? You know what? Doesn't make any difference. It wouldn't matter at all. It doesn't hurt at all to believe, here's the faith chair, that what I say to my mom is the truth. Because there's no work on you to produce that. I hope you were blessed today. I hope you saw the power of God that wants to put you in chair number three ultimately. So that this is your goal in life, and this goal has already been achieved. It's just a gift to you. Now, you can walk in it this minute. You can walk in at this moment and begin to praise God and thank God that He's done it all and that nothing more needs to be done for you to appear in heaven. And you now have boldness to walk into the throne of grace at any time. You can walk into the Holy of Holies, you can walk into the holy place, you can stay in the outer court, do whatever you want because it's your house. And anybody then that enters in through faith, which is active in love, is able then today to not only believe in it, but to actually experience it. And this is what the Lord wants, the manifestations of the sons of God. We need to manifest, that's chair number three. We need to actually show forth the kingdom of God so that the lost may have a light, that they may see that we're shalom, we're peaceful with God because we've done exactly what God wanted. He wants you to walk in pureness. He wants you to walk in holiness. He wants your marriages, your life, your families to experience. Just as God has forgiven you in chair number one, so you forgive others in chair number one. You don't need people to actually look mature. Let's say they're an immature believer. You still love them the same. Let's say they're growing. You still love them the same. Let's say they're mature in the Lord. You still love them the same. If anything, your love is mostly for this one because only adults should have children. A teenager having a child is going to be difficult. A child having a child is impossible. So our churches should be filled with mature individuals who can then raise up younger ones to move along. Otherwise, if you stay in this chair, you will fall back to this chair. You cannot be just born again, even though you're born again. That does not guarantee you. That does not guarantee you once saved, always saved. Nonsense. Just because you were here saved, meaning, and all you mean by this is justified, but you haven't yet been sanctified or glorified. And the church has told you, well, you don't need to. Oh, yes, you do. Because this is what Jesus died for. He didn't just die to have a baby, throw it in the middle of the floor and say, eat and sleep. There's the bathroom over there. There's the kitchen. Go for it. Look, if you're born again, you need to be grown up. You need to be disciplined or discipled until you become an adult. Why? Because that's what we need, and that's what's missing in the church today. He's coming back for a glorious church. That's number three. He's not coming back well-believed. He's not coming back well-wanted. He's coming back well-done. And he's looking for. Now, it doesn't reflect on you that you were a bad believer. It reflects on him because he made the promise. I swear that the good work I began, I will surely complete. Now, once you hear the truth, you either believe it or you don't. Did he pay for all three? Or did he only pay for the first one? Because if so, you'll fall back into legalism and license. Guaranteed. That's why the church today is full of legalism and is full of license. And it'll always be that way till the Lord sets you free. Well, God bless you all.